KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have cloudy skies, 42 degrees in Atlantic, and we look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy here today with a chance of sprinkles this afternoon, a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, totally remodeled, restocked, and ready to serve you with the prices you need, the service you deserve. Officials of the National Weather Service in Johnston say a storm survey team will fan out across three northwest Iowa counties today to assess damage from a tornado or tornadoes that moved across the area Sunday. The damage assessment team will cover northern Carroll, Calhoun, southeastern Pocahontas, and possibly northern Audubon County, where damage caused by high winds may have been due to a tornado. They'll also especially be in Lake City, where the roof of a high school was torn off while as many as 100 people attended a ceremony and took shelter in a basement. Trees 2 to 3 feet in diameter were also uprooted in that community at around 7:40 p.m. and multiple roofs were blown off of houses. A multiple vortex tornado 1/4 mile wide was reported in the area south of Lake City at around 7:30 p.m. A possible tornado was seen spinning up debris 4 miles northwest of Lauderdale in Carroll County at around 7:15 p.m. Sunday. No injuries have been reported. A tornado was also reported in Pocahontas County at around 8:20 p.m. about 4 miles northwest of Manson. The twister was seen on the ground and bouncing before going back into the clouds. A second twister, or possibly the same one, was observed at around 8:15 p.m. 1 mile southwest of Manson in Calhoun County. 3 miles southeast of Jolly in Calhoun County, a tornado was reported on the ground heading toward the Twin Lakes Wildlife Refuge just after 8 p.m. on Sunday. Another reported tornado was observed 3 miles west of Lauraville in Calhoun County at around 7:35 p.m. Other damage reports from around Iowa include downed power lines and power poles south of Van Meter in Dallas County. In Audubon County, a machine shed was destroyed on a farm about 6 miles southeast of Gray at around 7:45 p.m. Sunday. Here in Atlantic, two waves of heavy wind and rain downed at least one power line and a large tree. Pea-sized hail fell as well at around 1:30 p.m. The results and conclusions of today's survey, which typically will include the level and type of damage determining a possible tornado's path and width, along with length of time on the ground, will be completed and transmitted through a public information statement disseminated by the media and on the web services website later today. An accident in Harrison County last night resulted in one person being sent to the hospital. The Iowa State Patrol reports 53-year-old Marilee Louise Collier of Missouri Valley was transported by LifeNet helicopter to Creighton Hospital in Omaha after the 1998 Ford Taurus she was driving crossed the center line of Highway 30 and hit the driver's side of a semi before continuing and striking the dual wheels of the semi's trailer. Collier was ejected from her car and came to rest on the south shoulder while her car came to rest in the south ditch. The semi, a 2009 Freightliner, stopped on the south shoulder of the road. The driver of the rig, 57-year-old Merlin J. Howley of Sioux City, was not hurt. That accident happened around 10:20 p.m. as the car was traveling westbound on Highway 30 and the semi was traveling eastbound at about the one-mile marker. The crash remains under investigation. In other news, the Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will meet this evening in the Media Center at the high school, and during that 7:30 p.m. session, the board will act on approving open enrollment requests, general education and special education contracts, amended contracts and letters of assignment, as well as volunteer coaching positions. Resignations pending approval by the board include Jennifer Thurston, high school guidance counselor, Bonnie Church, varsity volleyball coach, and Allison Berryhill, the AHS fuel advisor. The board will also act on the second reading of a maternity leave policy. Members of the Griswold School District's Board of Education will meet this evening in the central office of the middle school high school building. Their session begins at 5:45. And during the meeting, the board will act on certified staff negotiations approval, nutrition prices, approving bids for a van purchase, approving fuel bid specifications, technology support specs, registration fees, and various board policies. And construction of the Riverside Community School District's new secondary building is behind schedule and over its initial budget. The Daily Nonpareil reports the $25 million building is expected to be finished on March the 6th, with plans for the district's 7th through 12th grades to move into the building prior to the end of the 2015-16 school year. Superintendent Jim Sutton said a wet summer last year put the project behind. It was supposed to open its doors this December, and Luder Construction Company has been told finishing work is urgent. Initially, the building was reported to be $22 million, and Sutton said the district expected closer to $23.5 million. The soil had to be improved for the foundation, and some of the cost of the work was misjudged by the project's architects. Sutton said the current work is focused on masonry, and that's not getting done as fast as they hoped. Once the building is enclosed, though, weather will be less of a factor, and there's a chance for an earlier finish. The new building, located at the intersection of Highways 59 and 6 just outside of Oakland, will have three levels. The bottom will house gyms and locker rooms, and the middle level will have a commons area, auditorium office, music room, art room, and kitchen. The bottom line, Sutton said, is the project will be finished and will not require any additional tax burden because of the higher costs. Voters approved a $15.1 million bond issue for the building in June of 2013. Sure. In the funeral announcements, Veer Auker, age 83, of Greenfield, died May the 4th at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Graveside services for Veer Auker will be today at 12:30 at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery near Van Meter. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Catherine Garnes, age 89, of Coon Rapids, died Saturday at Thomas Rest Haven. Funeral services for Catherine Garnes will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Mary Winther, age 69, of Audubon, died Friday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Mary Winther will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Joyce Orpels, age 85, of Coon Rapids, died Saturday at Thomas Rest Haven. Funeral services for Joyce Orpels will be held on Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. Bernice Matthews, age 93, who's formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday in Colorado. Funeral services for Bernice Matthews will be Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Eddie Roos, age 86, of Harlan, died Thursday. Funeral services for Eddie Roos will be held on Thursday at 1 o'clock at the Congregational United Church of Christ in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Robert Bub Christensen, age 66, of Atlantic, died Friday at Manor Care in West Des Moines. And per his wishes, Bub Christensen will be cremated, and the family will have a memorial service at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Asta Wichman, age 90, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Heritage House. Services for Asta Wichman are pending at the Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by Rex Pharmacy in Atlantic, the prices you need, the service you deserve. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.